KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. It's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your host for Chatterbox.
Oh my God, I am back after 2 weeks.
Has it been that long?
It has been. Well, I wasn't gone for 2 weeks. I was gone for one, which means it's now been 2 weeks.
It's it really felt like 5 seconds.
Really? You missed me that much?
Yeah,
huh?
That much.
Just that much. Well, this is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. For those who haven't heard us before, we're here every week on, what is this, KFNX?
Yes.
News Talk Radio 1100.
Well done.
AM in the Phoenix. You can go to our website, chatterboxgameshow.com, if you want to learn a little bit more about us. There's not much there, but there's some stuff. And there's also a live chatter room, our chat room, where you can talk to us during the show. I'm not really there when it's not the show, but it is right now. So feel free to join in there. Every once in a while, we'll actually look at it and maybe even talk about what you want us to talk about. Now, you can also call us at 602-277-KFNX. Is that?
That's
the local number.
That's the local line.
866-536-1100. This is what happens to me when I'm gone for a week. I got to look at the paper this time.
Same thing happens to me when I'm there and you're gone.
Yeah. So. Well, yeah, you may be listening to us live from afar, and then it's
866-536-1100. But, you know, the local line is it's constantly called so much that you have to use the toll-free number.
The phones are lighting up, they say.
Yeah, we have to exercise the utmost of self-discipline in order to keep the show on track.
This is the result of having a show in the evening, you know, weekday.
It's just way too popular.
This is not a college town. All right, so I was gone last week. Now, cover for me very quickly. What did we talk about last week while I was gone?
Okay, even though – now, you know better than to ask me this question in general because my memory's wiped on a –
But there was some sort of guest.
Basis.
There was a guest appearance in studio.
But we had Danny Baranowski back on, our good friend, music composer.
Frequent Chatterbox lover.
That's true. In more ways than one.
All right.
And, you know, we just chatted.
Has he released new music for Cannibal lately?
No, he was working on some other stuff, which he said, and of course, it's no longer in my memory banks.
Yeah.
We spent a lot of time talking about the whole 3D Realms spiel. How they worked on a game for 13, 12 years and didn't actually make one.
Yeah, that's happened.
And, yeah, and, you know, it was good times.
So I was off in another state celebrating the birth of Christ in a very
consistent
basis. It must have been. Dude, I was in a place full of religious people, but luckily I was not surrounded by them immediately because the house I was in was not a religious one.
Now, did they know you were Jewish?
Yeah, no, they love it, but it's a very atheist crowd when I go off.
So they're relatively progressive then up there in the cornfield.
Yeah, we're talking about the in-laws here. And they're very very cool people. It was a good time.
This is true. I can imagine how.
I got a really cool gift from them.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll tell this story very quickly. The parents got the maternal grandmother a pachinko machine. Back in the day, because so the grandmother.
Oh, not like this year.
Correct.
A long time ago.
Back in the day, back when the grandmother was still alive, the mother bought the grandmother a pachinko machine.
It's like old school. It's like Peggle, right?
Kind of. Not really.
No.
Kind of.
Isn't that the game where you just throw the ball up there and then watch what happens?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, same concept. Come on.
Right. I mean, Peggle is certainly the closest video game representation aside from actual pachinko, which you can also get. So anyway, if you do some research online, you'll see that like there's this whole series in the 60s and 70s. There were pachinko machines that were evolved from the old 20s and 30s versions, but they were still totally mechanical, although there might be some lights or something that light up. The game was totally mechanical.
And lots of metal balls.
Yeah. Then in the 80s, it turned into stuff more like video games or pinball, where they start adding LCD screens and all sorts of electronics that are required in order to run well or run at all. So anyway, I now have this, my own vintage pachinko machine.
So you stole it from the grandma?
No, it was, no.
You tricked her.
The grandmother's long dead.
And then
dead.
You took it from her.
Grandmother's long
okay,
dead.
Okay, so you've taken care of business now. You've taken care of grandma.
She's been
gone. You
picked
up the pachinko
before machine. I was ever in the picture. She liked pachinko, so they got her the pachinko machine, but it was, you know, it was secondhand. I guess what happened is they existed in Japan, where all pachinko machines start.
Right.
And then they get shipped over to the U.S. And what's weird is there is some electricity, like I said, for those lights, but they removed the power transformer stuff because the power was different back in the 70s in Japan. And now it's only slightly different, so you can plug in stuff interchangeably between U.S. and Japan. Maybe you didn't know that.
No, it's like 20 volt difference. Like
10 or 20, I'm not
who
sure.
Who cares? Who cares about that?
I think we're 110 and they're 120.
Something like that.
All right. So anyway, right now it's pretty much the same. Back then it wasn't. So they would pull off the transformers and leave just like the lights and the soldered wires, if even that. Now, they never knew how to get it to work. Of course, they didn't even have any pachinko balls that they bought with the machine. It was just the machine without the balls. So they never really did anything with it, and it just sat in a basement. And now they give it to me, and I'm like, oh, well, this, it's all there. It's all mechanical. I should be able to get this to work and maybe hook a battery up and get the lights working. But we have to totally clean it. Like, this will not work well if the parts don't move smoothly. So it like I have to take off every little bit by hand and, like, clean it and oil it and whatever, and it's going to be a huge task. And then I find out apparently they're kind of a dime a dozen. Like, you can buy a vintage pachinko machine for only a couple $100.
So
Craigslist or something.
Did you manually transport this from Nebraska to your
Actually, I say I have it. It's technically still in another state.
And no balls. You have to find balls too.
Oh, well, you can buy those. You can buy pachinko balls.
Just go and get them anywhere.
They're not terribly cheap. It's for like 750 of them, it's going to cost about $50.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. Those things are heavy.
Yeah.
You're walking around with a bunch of balls in your pocket, and you're wondering, you know, why don't they just use coins and make it like Plinko, like on The Price is Right?
Yeah, well, so that's something actually that we didn't talk about, exactly what pachinko is. So it's basically a gambling machine, although in Japan it's sort of allowed because it's not technically gambling, because there's all these levels.
Because you always lose?
No, well, there's that. But the way they do it in Japan is, like, you buy tokens. You exchange money for tokens at one place, right? And then you go into the pachinko parlor, which is a separate business from where you've bought these tokens that are specifically for use with pachinko machines, right? But different companies. So you go next door, across the street, or wherever, to the pachinko parlor. You trade in these tokens for a bucket full of the pachinko balls.
And boy, do you need a bucket to carry around.
Yes, a serious bucket. So then you take the pachinko balls, you pour them into the machine, and there's a reservoir, and then you play this game, which is, for the most part, not skill-based. You can pull a little lever. The old ones, you would pull a lever, like when you play pinball, right? You know how you pull back the plunger?
Yep.
And so you can release it at varying distances so that the ball will shoot either hard or soft or whatever.
Right.
So it's similar, but it's not exactly the same mechanic.
It's like pinball, except you don't have the flippers at the bottom to get it to go back up.
Yeah, exactly. But these days, actually, you don't even turn. Like, you might turn something, but it's all electronic. So it's always, like, the same force of the ball.
Just keeps on shooting out by itself, right?
Well, not by itself. You have to press a trigger or something, or turn a knob.
Well, that's less exciting.
But anyway, so these balls then fly up like Plinko in The Price is Right. They fly up to the top from the bottom, and then they just fall down on the pins. And if they go into the, you know, specific small holes and you get enough of them, then you win, like, the jackpot or something. And usually the balls do not go there. They just go into the lose area and you lose them.
And this is a metaphor for modern Japanese life.
Perhaps, sure. But if you do well enough, you could conceivably leave with more balls than you started with. And then you take all of these balls again from the machine.
You have to use a bucket to transport because they're so heavy and numerous.
Put them back in your bucket, possibly more buckets if you have enough extra balls. And then you take them back to the token person and you get tokens in exchange for them. And then you leave the building. You go to the other place where the token exchanger guy is. He exchanges tokens for actual money. So you see there's this separation. You're trading money for tokens.
And this somehow makes it not gambling.
Somehow makes it not gambling.
That's interesting. But what I'm imagining in my head is that I really wish we had these in, like, Dave and Buster's, because I just want to see tens and tens of people just trying to maneuver around each other, each of them carrying their 60, 70-pound buckets full of steel balls.
How often do you think they get dropped? And then it's like currency, and people sweep. And plus, they roll, right?
Yeah, well,
balls.
Yeah.
When we refer to these balls, it's basically ball bearings.
It's a pickpocket's paradise. You know, just, like, kick that thing over.
It's the same as a ball bearing, basically. but I guess with some sort of pachinko writing on it or something. So anyway, I'm very excited to have this because it's very arcade-ish. The new ones even have references to video games. Like there's a Tekken.
I'm sure they do.
I've seen a Tekken pachinko machine.
They even
machine.
Have some pachinko video games, right, which yeah. I'll never understand.
So my machine is a Heiwa brand, H-E-I-W-A. And
Heiwa.
Is it Heiwa, you
yeah.
think?
Yeah. All right. No, it is.
Sure, whatever. So when I try to research Heiwa, I get no information about the company. I only get references to the Nintendo 64 game, like Heiwa Pachinko Challenge or whatever. So it's some collection of the Heiwa Pachinko machines in virtual form, which has got to be a horrible video game, by the way, because there's no skill. You're not doing anything. You're just throwing balls up in the air.
Yep.
So why would you want that?
I could never understand this, but then again, people enjoy Bejeweled, so what do I...
It's like getting a lottery-based video game. Where you actually like guess lottery numbers and see if you get them right, and yeah. if you don't, you just try again.
Yeah, it's almost like that.
It's crazy.
Some people, I mean, honestly, some people like that, and I can understand that because you can enjoy some kind of video game success or competence without having any skill, and I think that that's why people enjoy it.
You think so?
Well, yeah, it has to be because there's nothing else there. I mean, it's rewarding.
Well, maybe they do it because you win money.
In a way.
that's kind of a key ingredient.
Well, you know, winning money, that's great too, right? But you're able to be successful at the game where the game doesn't actually ask anything of you. It doesn't ask for you to be skilled, right? So it's like, okay, well, I mean, I hate to say it, but that's what it is, right? I'm the most inept person at hand-eye coordination. I'm just going to play this and... You know, it's just like press the button 50 times to get the reward.
Yeah, but that would assume there's some sort of joy from playing the game. And I think there's only joy from winning.
Well.
Winning because of the money.
Yes.
Transfer.
Yes, but then you get into the whole kind of argument where it's like, well, if winning is part of the game, then winning is enjoyment from the game. And obviously, it's not. There's no enjoyment from the mechanics itself. Unless you're,
the lights and the sounds,
unless you're
man.
Easily amused. You
have
know,
you ever played pachinko?
I have.
I haven't.
I haven't actually.
That's what's weird. I now know so much about it, and I've never used one of the machines.
Well, I hope that I hope it works.
I hope to, you know, eventually have like a nice game room. I've got my arcade machine now, and we'll have a pachinko, and eventually we'll have a pinball machine.
Yeah, you should actually like you should just open your house up to the public because you've got
That'd
all
be
that.
Awesome.
You've got the rock wall. You should just do an hourly yeah. charge.
Well, I think I'm moving soon, so I won't have the rock wall anymore.
So.
But.
Well, get like a few more things that weigh more than 1,000 pounds and then move.
You know, the pachinko machine itself, actually not that heavy.
Yeah.
Right? Like it should be able to ship for $75 or something. Anyway, we're towards the end of this segment. What's coming up in the rest of the show? You've got, as usual, a ton of stuff in front
of you.
We've
got a bunch of stuff. We can, let's talk about video games that involve rape. That's always fun.
Okay.
We'll do that
I do enjoy
back.
That. I want to talk a little bit about pricing disparity across platforms.
Okay.
Specifically iPhone versus other.
All right, that tickles my brain a little bit.
All right, good. We'll be back right after this. Stay tuned, everybody.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox, Video Game Radio, and Comedy Hour.
Is that what we're going to do this
sure,
time?
Sure, we're going to do a little stickerooski.
All right, so where do you want to start?
So, I promised I'd do this last week. This is
last week you promised we would do it this week?
No, last week, and then I didn't do it last week, so we should do it this week.
Okay, so what is it that we're doing?
So, here's a little bit of background. This topic is about something called Eroge, which is... short in Japanese for erotic game.
I can understand that.
And there's been a lot of media...
We talked about RayPlay before.
Yes, RayPlay. There's been a lot of media attention about that, how people just don't like cartoon characters getting raped.
Can't imagine why.
In games. They're not
I mean,
so
that's
cool
just wild.
So, brilliantly enough, a new Eroge came out in Japan that had some tongue-in-cheek references to all this media hoopla. And there's two things that we're going to do. The first one is a screen, like a warning screen, right, that comes up when the game starts. Now, this is not a game about necessarily raping, but it has various manner of erotic, animated tunage going on here.
Okay.
Right? So there's a warning that's kind of a little tongue-in-cheek, right? Like, you know, the warning you get when, you know, you put in a game and it says, like, warning, you know, if you have epileptic seizures, you're going to die or whatever.
God, so there's that. Saying, yes.
And then there's also we'll do a little back and forth with the conversation between two characters in the game. So the name of this game is called Shinobi Ryu, right? Which I have no idea what that really means. But it's erotic, so that should satisfy most people. And the screen that you see right before the game starts, it says this. It goes, declaration. This is a declaration made with the consensus of all the characters that appear in this story. All the characters appearing in this game have gone through special training. This is a cartoon, okay? And all actions carried out are done on the basis of mutual agreement. Even if you're an inhuman person who believes that fictional characters and creative works do not have human rights, please do not ignore this. We also thank all the kind people who see a character in the story saying phrases such as, help me, and take it as a real call for help. However, even though you are worrying about the characters in the story, these are all lines spoken from a script. They are not saying all this from the bottom of their hearts. We are sorry that they have put in so much effort into their acting that some people will confuse it as something that is really happening.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So what's even more awesome is, completely unprovoked, there's, because all these erotic Japanese games, they have just so much script in them. And so just, here's just a casual conversation between two characters that we're going to attempt to read now. And Alon, you can be the first character.
Oh, you want me to start?
Yeah.
Okay. Am I a man or a woman?
I don't know. Yes. We're both ninjas.
I am a surprised Suigen ninja.
Sure.
That's what I am?
Yeah.
All right. I recently learned something that surprised me.
What is it?
We, fictional characters, apparently have human rights.
Huh?
There are apparently some special people that will get angry and show sympathy for us if we get raped, and they'll start lobbying for us, too.
Wow. We can't even do anything ourselves without a creator or a player, but we have human rights.
Surprising, isn't it?
Yeah, but since they acknowledge that we have human rights, I wonder if they'll acknowledge that we have the right to vote, too. Our creators will work hard to do some political manipulation.
We can't be greedy, but, well, since we have human rights, we might as well suggest it.
You're right.
We're doing as we please. Please stop taking unnecessary actions.
Okay, so there you go, guys. Comedy theater completely lifted from your favorite video games.
Was that funny?
Sure it was.
Oh,
see,
okay.
Since we're on the radio, we can authoritatively just insist that something's funny, and then people will think it's funny.
Well, I'm sure people will recommend to both of us for some sort of radio acting award.
It's comedy by fiat.
If we were awesome, we would have had sound effects like in the old days. Norm, did you work in radio back in the old days when people did... you know, like radio shows?
Unfortunately, I did not. Although we, as they say, we did every so often drama or whatever that.
Yeah, I'm thinking like with the thunder sheets of metal.
Yeah.
You know.
Unfortunately, the ability to imagine images inside your head has been genetically.
No, you know when
mutated
like,
out of the.
they want to say, oh, there's thunder, and they shake around the big metal. Foil yes. thing and
yeah. I've done Foley work myself.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Okay, next time you're gonna do Foley for us.
That's when radio becomes wonderful.
That's when it Absolutely. Becomes wonderful, but
War of the Worlds, man.
Kids these days they just don't have the appreciation for such things.
Let me tell you, if you wanna learn to do that sort of thing in radio, you should go to radio school. However, if you want to learn how to make games, you could always head over to uat.edu, the website for the University of Advancing Technology, a fabulous sponsor of this here program.
Please don't listen to my little spiel I did last week.
You don't want me to listen to
it? No,
week?
Don't listen to it.
Why? Because you forgot to mention UAT?
No, I did. I just did it in a deliberately lame way that you'll be like, oh my God. So don't listen to it.
I just need to make sure we get past all the rules.
We got all the rules.
We do everything we're supposed to do.
Buy the book. Always buy the book.
We're on KFNX 1100. And what else do we do?
All
what
right.
else am I supposed to mention?
Okay.
No, All Games Radio. We're part of All Games Radio.
Sure. Oh, we're still doing that?
Yeah.
Okay, that's awesome.
Go to allgames.com.
All right.
Is there anything else? Do we pitch like Burger King or McDonald's or anything? Because that's when we would make money.
That's the big bucks. That's what we'll do that tomorrow.
Maybe. Next week?
Yeah.
All right. Are you going to be here next week?
I'm always here.
I might not be, by the way.
Okay. Well,
just so you know.
We'll find out what happens then.
All right. So I wanted to talk about pricing disparity.
Okay. I've got like a whole bunch of little things.
Let's do it.
So let's take care of those, and then we can go for the big show afterward.
Gotcha.
So you know what a PSP Mini is?
I know what a PSP Go is.
Yeah, so this was the most confusing thing to me on Earth. Apparently, what Sony has done is classified a portion of their PSP games as, quote, PSP Minis. And these are basically PSP games that are less than,
just
say,
like value games?
Say, 100 megs. It's not intended to be a value line, but that's the way it's looking because they all are basically of that caliber.
So it's kind of like an Xbox Live Arcade game versus an Xbox 360 game.
Yeah, but it's on like on another axis, but sort of, yeah.
Okay.
So the only difference really, at least the way that they've defined it, is just if it's small in memory storage, right, then okay, it's a PSP mini game. But they all suck right now, even more than regular PSP games, which I know is hard to imagine. But here's a funny thing.
Like that game you showed me a few weeks ago?
Yeah, that's not a PSP mini game. That's a full-fledged thing they got, yeah.
I'm sure some of the mini games are even better than that, though.
So, well, yeah, I hope so. Here's the funny thing. With the last firmware update on the PS3, you can play PSP mini games on your PS3.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't play PSP games.
Okay.
So on first inspection, I'm thinking about this and I'm like, okay, well, that kind of makes sense because Sony doesn't want to cannibalize their own PSP market. But on the other hand, I'm like, well, why can't I just play this PSP game? If I can play these PSP games over here, right? Why are you not letting me play these PSP games on my PS3?
You certainly should be able to. What's ironic is that you can actually play some PS3 games through your PSP. Isn't that right?
That's what I've heard. I've never actually done it. Never actually. Like, what is that? That's just, you're just using it as a controller at that point somehow.
Yeah, but I think the video is actually on the PSP as well.
Okay.
So, like, you could play from another room. I think. It's weird. I gotta tell you, the PSP, PS3 connection is some of the most interesting stuff there is, and I have never delved into it at all.
It's bizarre.
Some of the most interesting video game collaboration.
I'm really like curious how many people actually use that because it's just so hidden from most users. And
you also don't know. Like, you don't buy a PS3 game knowing it can happen.
Sure.
I remember I did connect my Game Boy Advance to my my GameCube when I was playing that Zelda game.
Right. Well, it's kind of like that the link cable on the regular PS1.
But wireless.
Okay. No, but I mean, like, back then, right, that was like almost like an undocumented feature. Like,
to link the two of them?
Yeah, like, some games supported it.
Dude, I totally did that.
And they never even mentioned it anywhere publicly that they could.
I did see that cable, by the way, for sale at a Bookman's here in the Phoenix area.
Was it like $80?
No, it was only $3.
Oh, okay.
But I wonder if they even knew what it was, because it's not like you can even find a system that has that port on it anymore. They took the port out of that place, the PlayStation a long time ago. But I used it to play Final Doom with somebody. By the way, one-on-one Doom is boring.
Okay, I could see that.
But we did it.
Sure.
All right. Crazy.
Good time.
And we really enjoyed it at the time.
Okay, so real quick thing before we go, because I know we're running out of time. This is probably the first time we're going to reference, and last time we're going to reference TMZ on our show. But
I hope so.
TMZ was reporting that apparently a singer from the R&B group Blackstreet decided a couple days before Christmas, I'm going to beat my kids with a plastic guitar with a Rock Band controller.
Now, was it Rock Band or Guitar Hero?
They say Rock Band.
All right. I'm sure it was premeditated. He thought, morning...
It is the weapon of choice.
It's kid beating
time. It's about 3 ounces heavier.
All right. We'll be back after this.
Hello, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
So I think it's interesting how in our last segment we went from speaking about games with animated rape,
yeah,
sort of, and political satire, but going from video game rape to another story about actual violence with a video game controller. I don't know if you found
we're
that
just,
interesting.
We're just that good. What can I say?
Was that planned? I don't even think it was planned.
You know what? That was just one of those...
If only it could be rape with a guitar.
Yes.
Right?
That was just one of those serendipitous things that only comes along once in a great while.
That would be great. All right. So we got Penn on the line, but I don't want to go to the phones just yet. I wanted to talk about this pricing thing. And it won't take too long, right?
Okay.
It's not a big deal.
Hang on, Penn. Don't leave us.
I just realized something. So... I've talked about Settlers of Catan many, many, many times on the show, specifically the version called Catan on the Xbox 360, which is very good, but has its flaws. And then I've also said in the past, at least in my own life, that they need to make it for the Nintendo DS. And then later in life thought, oh, they need to make this for the iPhone. They did make it for the iPhone, and it was recently released sometime in the last month or so. I only found out this past week while I was off in Nebraska, but... it did come up with the iPhone. And then I go researching the game itself and think, well, it should be on the DS. Because this is another issue. So I bought the actual Catan game, a board game, right?
Right. You need to have it on every single electronic system you have access to.
Well, I just need it to be accessible at all times.
Oh, I see.
So
very subtle, but important.
I got the board game, and it comes with a pamphlet of all the different expansions you can get, stuff like that. And it says it's now on the iPhone. And it may have said on the iPhone or Nintendo DS, but I think it just said iPhone. So then I go online. I'm like, all right, obviously I can find it in the App Store. But, you know, I researched. I wanted to find out when it came out. How long have I been missing it? And what else can you tell me about the game, since it doesn't explain if it's multiplayer? At least the explanation, App Store explanations right. for things are very poor.
For all you know, it could be another variation of Tower Defense.
Yes, it could be bad, right? And you don't know it as you're not as familiar with the App Store as I am because you don't have the iPhone.
Right.
But they don't really tell you much about the game. They can.
Not surprised.
But they never do.
I'm not surprised.
Right.
Don't show any screenshots or anything.
So they say it's multiplayer, but they don't say how that's achieved. It turns out on the iPhone, it's actually... And by the way, this is a game where the other players aren't supposed to know what you're holding in your hand in terms of the cards, which okay. obviously aren't cards in the video game.
Right.
But they're represented. So it's kind of like it would be playing Texas Hold'em on a single screen with multiple people, right? People know your cards. They're not supposed to know your cards. So on the iPhone, it is multiplayer, but it's not ad hoc with other iPhones, and it's not over a network.
It's on the same iPhone.
It's on the same iPhone. So you have to take it, play your turn, and pass it off to the next person. And, of course, like I don't know. I haven't even tried it this way yet. But I don't know if like it goes to a between-hands screen where it doesn't show anybody's cards, and then right. the next person takes it and says, okay, now I'm playing and show me my cards.
Right.
Because otherwise they see your cards or you see their cards if there's not that intermediate time.
Yeah, that's no good. Know? And if they're not good friends, then they can take off with an iPhone.
Well, I guess, yes. Hadn't really thought of that, but anyway, so when I'm researching this, I find out, okay, it's supposed to come out for the Nintendo DS, which is something I previously knew, but had forgotten about, and every once in a while I go check, and I dig through these websites of foreign companies, because it's not being made by Americans, and I find that apparently, according to the developer, it was to be released in June. It says coming out June, but obviously it's not June anymore, it's long past June, and it's still not available. Catan was never released on the DS, but supposedly coming soon. Hopefully it will. And then I also hope that it's not passed the friggin' Nintendo DS around. I hope it's just a play over the network. So that raises two questions. First of all, why would it be $30 on the DS, which is what it'll be, and only $5 or less on sale like it was last week on the iPhone when it's the same game? Like, it's the same graphics, it's the same developer.
I'll tell you why.
Same everything.
It's...
Second question, though, also... why would they have different features in it? Unless they want to for value add, right? But why would like multiplayer components? Oh, well, it's too hard to play over multiplayer because it's such a long game. And I'm like, well, no. If I want to sit and play a Catan game, I will sit and I will dedicate my 45 minutes to it, whether it's on the iPhone or something else. Let me decide if I want to play it.
No, we don't want to let the player decide that. That would be crazy.
Yeah. Why make an inferior experience? And plenty of the Catan players will want to play the whole game.
I have answers to both of these issues.
Especially, by the way, before you go into that, you could just, if someone bails from the game, turn them into a computer opponent. Because if they're playing single player, they're playing against computer opponents anyway.
Okay, so first things first.
Price disparity.
I agree that's an enormous price disparity, but it's the same reason why popcorn costs so much at a movie theater and costs a different amount at the grocery store and costs a different amount from a vending machine.
Well, there's a quality difference there, too.
Okay, let's assume, okay, let's, grocery store to vending machine, different location.
Yeah.
Or, okay, grocery store, let's not even talk about popcorn. Let's talk about, like, something that's the same. You know, like Mike and Ike's, okay? Grocery store, vending machine, theme park that's really cheap, so they have to sell Mike and Ike's. The same thing, but different price.
But there, but you're getting something else. When you buy it from the vending machine, you're buying convenience.
No, no, I agree with that, but it's not a complete analogy. It's just a very narrowly construed analogy.
Okay. Okay? Well, I'll roll with it.
Okay, so people are used to, like, who buys $30 anything on an app store?
Almost nobody.
Yeah, but
there are a few apps that are several hundred dollars.
Okay, but by and large, right? I mean, like, so that's what I think that's the main difference, right?
You're absolutely right. I agree completely. But I think it's BS, right? Because they're trying to push this.
I think it's BS, too. I mean, earlier, right before we started the show, I was complaining to you about how I rented a movie from my 360, right?
Using from, like, the Zune store or whatever.
The Zune service, right? And I was irritated at three things, two of which had to do with price, which was, A, they charge me a dollar more if I want
HD, right?
HD.
Which I don't think you should whine about.
It's,
but okay.
It's crap. They should just have one price. Okay. And the other one is that I had to pay $3 to have a movie that's available for me to play, like, for about, it was
48 hours, probably?
No, it was less than 48 hours. Even though they said I had 2 weeks, it was actually less than two days.
I'm worried that you may have confused something, because there's two different time periods.
Yeah, I know. It's complicated, right? But the point is, right, I could have gone to, like, Blockbuster, and I know there's few remaining now, or go to Redbox. Get that movie, $1, I keep it, that's it.
Well, that $1 is per day.
Okay, so.
So if you kept it for 2 weeks, then it would be $14 you're paying.
Yeah, but so I couldn't even do that. I didn't even have it for,
And most people, dare I say normal people, watch a movie in a single sitting. And so you get the 2 weeks to just turn it on.
Okay,
and as soon as you turn it on,
okay,
you get 48 hours.
Yeah, but you're just giving me excuses, though. The point was that
it's a legitimate business model.
It's a legitimate model. I just think it's a crappy model because the other example that I gave to you was at the price that they rate at the rate that they price all the material on there, especially TV shows, right? If you paid for TV shows on your TV, which is about the same quality of television, right? It's not like any better if you're getting it through their service. It's not like the show is better. I mean, you have a lot of selection.
Oh, yeah,
on both
you
have
no commercials.
All right, no commercials. So you're just trying to be difficult here.
No, no commercials is a serious value add.
Okay, so you would pay like a dollar or two per 30 minutes for no commercials. Like, I don't think anyone would pay for that.
I don't want to pay for my TV no matter how I slice
it,
but
I do.
I pay for cable.
Okay, well, we're getting sidetracked here. My point is that if you paid for shows at the rate that they sell them on there, according to what you usually consume, I think most people usually consume, it's horrendous. You'd be paying like $1 or $2 per 30 minutes of viewing, which is crazy.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. But, you know, most people don't buy their TV shows there.
Yeah, so I don't know what they're trying to pull off. But anyway, my whole point is that I think that they always try to charge as much as possible, they being whoever's selling whatever, in whatever climate, and they're selling it for that much, for $30, because that's how much new
so here's
Game
what
Boy games
me.
Are.
Apple's trying to make the iPhone some legitimate competitor in the gaming arena.
Right.
And it's difficult to do because I don't know if it was built for that originally. It doesn't. It's lacking a lot of things that other things have. However, some games can work really well on it. A turn-based board game, for instance,
sure,
really has nothing lost with the iPhone interface. They can make whatever necessary adjustments are needed to make it work. Not to mention the DS, most games are going to be run with touch anyway. At least a game like that would be, not using the D-pad and the buttons. So basically, the game's probably going to be exactly the same between the two. And the and on the iPhone, it's actually better because it's higher resolution, aside from the two-screen thing.
Yeah, I don't even actually – well, going back to the second part of your question, which what you're saying now I'm going to also address, I think it's just an idiosyncratic difference of what developers will do in terms of, like, how they implement multiplayer. Like, it's just – When a developer takes on a project, right, they'll say, like, okay, you know, like, this developer over here, like, Greasy Games or whatever, like, they're going to make the iPhone version, right? And maybe Greasy Games is not so good at implementing certain kinds of multiplayer. Or maybe they don't have enough time to do it the right way, right? So they'll be like, as a compromise, they'll be like, okay, well, we'll do multiplayer this way because we don't have anyone to write, like, network code, or we're not good enough at that, right?
So well, in this case, it's the same developer, which is what bugs me.
Okay, so that's weird if it's the same one. But I think that the reason how, like, features in general get added to games or not added to games, especially different versions of the same one, it's really more idiosyncratic than anything else.
Just silly things like what this developer happens to have on hand.
Yeah, or just what they can do, or if they just maybe they think it's bad and they convince whoever they're developing it for.
All right, well, we'll be right back with a caller.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. The final hour.
The final hour brought to you by UAT.edu, the website for the University of Advancing Technology. Go there to learn more about the programs they can offer you.
That was wonderfully smarmy.
Wasn't it? Wasn't it great? So before we get to Pen on the Phone, I just want to point out, like, there are obvious things that would make a physical DS version of a game more expensive than iPhone. First of all, distribution, publishing, the actual cartridge, extra licensing to Nintendo, which I assume is more than what goes to Apple. And so various partners in that respect, right? Not to mention you have to make an actual manual.
I don't think it accounts completely.
No, definitely not. I'm sure there's a lot more money that gets to the developer's pocket per DS unit.
Yeah, there's definitely those iPhone factors. And then the other thing, too, right, with the distribution, I think that they're really pushing mass distribution with this digital download thing.
Yeah. You know what I haven't checked? I haven't compared DSi downloadable games. I've never played one. I don't know how they compare to full games and what the pricing is for them and all that. I should look into that one day, but I don't even know anyone with a DSi. Anyway, also, there's going to be additional content in the DS version. There's going to be, like, expansion packs and stuff. So that also would constitute some additional money, but not that big a difference, right? Yeah. Not six times.
Well, you get to hold it in your hand, too. That's the other difference.
I guess.
It's yours.
That's what makes it, you know, good to me.
Yeah, you can sell it later.
Exactly. You and I are the only ones who appreciate that, by the way.
Well,
the rest of the world, digital download is perfectly fine for all of them.
Yeah, I don't think the rest of the world. I think that there's still a lot of people who enjoy having that freedom. But
I'll tell you what, if the games were all as cheap as they are on the iPhone for digital download, I'd be happier. I even bought a game. I bought a game called, I think, Auditorium for the iPhone. It's only a dollar. I don't know if it's still a dollar, but it's pretty good. I have to show it to you, actually. Remind me before we go. You have to see it. Anyway, let's get Pen on the air. I think... he either wants to talk about Modern Warfare, or my guess is Modern Warfare.
Yeah, Modern Warfare.
All right. Well, what comes on my screen is not always what you say on the phone. So let's chat.
Well, also, I am one of those guys who I don't like downloading stuff on Xbox Live because I feel like I don't own it. Like, the way they have it set up on Microsoft service, essentially if my system breaks, I no longer own that game. So paying $20 for a game, even of high quality, to me still seems like a ripoff.
Yeah, you know what's funny? Actually, I want to ask both of you guys this question. And actually, it's not even a question, but I want to hear what you guys think. With all of these cheap downloadable games, I do not buy or spend money on any of them unless it's like a game that I've already decided, like, I'm going to get this game and buy it, and with the intention of, like, playing through it, or...
Yes.
Whatever the equivalent is for that type of game, right?
I'm very careful about what I buy digital download.
The only game I purchased was Castle Crashers, and that's only because my best friend purchased it. But aside from that, like, there's a bunch of games I want to buy, but then every time it gets to the point where I have to buy it, like, the idea that if my system breaks, I will always have to be on Xbox Live.
We have talked about this. My Xbox did break, and I did transfer them over to the new one. You can do it.
No, yeah, but what happens when the Xbox Live service is gone?
Well, then you're screwed.
But, that's my point. But, I don't own it.
Yeah, it's slightly neurotic, but I'm with you. I'm with you.
But Ben, on the same token, I think to myself, how often am I playing my PlayStation 1 games right now? Right.
I replayed Xenogears about 2 years ago.
Yeah. About 2 years ago. So basically, give up that one game-playing experience, and then when was the last time you played a PS1 game? Basically never. And so what you're doing is giving away that...
6 months ago, I played it my Nintendo 64 game.
Yeah, but you can't use that argument, because that's the beggar's, like, you know, like, don't you have a dollar? It's only a dollar argument.
But you give up that one very rare experience for the many new experiences you would have through digital download, which, by the way, this is very weird, me arguing for digital downloads.
Sure.
But... Well, I use a lot of times, you know, I use games as a reference, and sometimes I need to remind myself why I liked a certain games or if a game holds up. So a lot of times I will go back for, you know, a couple of hours and play a game. So to me, it is very important because I am a collector. I'm not just a guy who purchases a game, then sells it.
Well, let me tell you, sir,
my game.
Your collection may be worth something one day because physical media will no longer exist pretty soon.
That's interesting. It's going to be Antiques Roadshow video games for a whole season.
Exactly.
But here's the funny thing. If you guys think about it, right? So what I just said before that we all, I think, agreed upon, the implication there is that really – these games could be actually cost twice as much, and it wouldn't change our buying patterns with them, at least amongst us.
Digital downloads or physical media?
No, the digital downloads. Because we only buy ones that we actually want to play.
Well,
if it costs like $20-$25, I don't like if we wanted to play it, we'd buy it anyway, right?
It's on principle to me. I don't even want to pay a dollar for it, but I do if it's good enough.
Yeah, is that accurate though?
Well, Steam, if for some strange reason you can't buy, like if the game goes offline or whatever, or Steam just shuts down, they pretty much pledge that we will burn you discs and send it to you. And to me, that permanence is very important to me.
Yeah, but
like I'm not looking for an experience that's temporary and then I lose it forever. Like I like to keep things. Like,
yeah, but that's as reliable as the FDIC.
But Modern Warfare, that's actually what I called about. I put in 170 hours in multiplayer.
Wow.
I'm kind of upset.
That's like RPG level, you realize.
Dude, I wish we had the foghorn. Wah, wah, wah. Like, that's you just chose the wrong door, sir.
I mean, it is so much fun. It's so competitive. And it actually has a lot to do with what Aura talked about ages ago, which was getting in the zone, because there's so many rules and so much stuff you have to be aware of. You never really, it's hard to get in the zone. And then the few times you get into that zone, it's like for such a short amount of time because somebody, you know, kills you from behind or something like that, and you just lose it.
Let me ask you, as a Modern Warfare 2 player, do you feel like you're part of the crowd? You feel you're enjoying the same game as everyone else? Or do you feel bad that since you didn't pirate it, you're not really part of the parade since everyone else pirated it?
I'm happy. I'm the kind of guy where at first, you know, whatever game it is, I'm very shy about spending a lot of money. I'm very price sensitive, mainly because I grew up poor. But now that I have money, I still act price sensitive. So, for example,
dude,
the first Modern Warfare.
Why aren't we hanging around with Penn?
The first Modern Warfare I paid $30 for, and the included maps, the code wasn't included in it, and I was really mad. Despite playing the game for over 100 hours, I was still mad about those maps. However, when I bought Modern Warfare 2, I bought the 360 Modern Warfare Edition, which was $400. I bought the night vision goggles, which was $150. I bought another night vision goggles for my brother, which was $150.
Dude, I saw that thing for $60 at Fry's last time I went in there.
Wait a minute.
The limited edition BS one that comes with these $30 toy night vision goggles.
Real night vision goggles?
No, they're
the night
toy
vision goggles are amazing. Like, they work 100%. Like, me and my brother were running around in the woods, and it was awesome. Like,
are you kidding me?
They work so well. It's
really?
I thought the same thing. I thought it was BS. That's why I only bought one for myself to see if it works, and then I said, if these really work the way they're advertised, I will buy a second one. And they did. Like, it's a high-quality product, and it's really cool.
I thought they were just a toy.
No, they are legitimate. Like, it's and now I'm kind of mad. I didn't know you could get night vision goggles so cheap because I would have bought them a long time ago. And my point is, once I become loyal, like, despite whatever the next game is, I become a fan. Like, for example, Perfect Dark Zero looked terrible. But the original Perfect Dark for the Nintendo 64 was one of the best games ever. I put in 200 hours in that game. So I gave him the benefit of the doubt, blind faith. I got screwed. However, now I at least I feel like I'm supporting them and letting them know, hey, I like this experience. You messed up this time, but, you know, give
wait,
it another
wait,
go.
Wait, so how many times do they have to screw you for you to be like, all right,
one.
F you guys? But they've all, you've already been
one
screwed
strike,
by
sir.
Yeah, but
and
I will never
out.
Buy another Perfect Dark game unless I'm 100% sure it's good.
Yes.
But Modern Warfare 3, I mean, these guys could essentially sell me whatever they want, and I will buy it because, I mean, a lot of people are against this, but I vote with my dollar. Like, for example, there's no reason I should buy CDs. I can download everything. However, you know, a new Eminem CD comes out, and I go out, and I buy it because I want to support that artist because it's the only way he's going to keep making music.
I just gagged a little bit.
I'm all for that. What do you have against Eminem?
It's just principle.
Okay.
But whatever. Different story.
Different
that is
strokes.
A different podcast,
and
a different episode.
And I feel the
episode.
Same way about my game.
Different
you know?
Strokes for different folks.
All right. So good. I'm glad that you actually bought it. And now I want to go buy the what should be $60 version of the game because of those night vision goggles. Really? They work?
Yeah, they work 100%. However, at first you're going to be disappointed because like, oh, it doesn't look good. But you have to adjust this thing like a whole bunch. And then all of a sudden it's crystal clear, like you can see in pitch black darkness.
That's crazy.
I wonder how long it's going to take until that promo item shows up in a news story.
What do you mean? Like some
like
news story of someone?
Police blotter.
Ah.
It's just asking for it. It's just, I mean, look, people are stabbing each other
with
Rock Band guitars. Plastic
guitars. I don't think stabbing was one of the things that happened.
Well,
there was a contusion on the face and bashes to the temple.
Probably more of a slashing motion than a stabbing motion.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, Penn. That is the end of our program. As I said earlier in the show, if you want to learn more about us, go to chatterboxgameshow.com and feel free to email us as well, aura.oralon@chatterboxgameshow.com. I'll be at CES next week if anyone else is there and wants to find me.
All right. And I'll be at the show next week.
All right. Bye,
doing the thing. Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info in the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your bases are belong to us.